This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. Keeping it kind of on the down low this morning, just because it's Sunday morning. But to start off, I'm going to do something I haven't done in a while, Sean. Okay. Here we go. Perry French. Are those tears in your eyes? Because you're so happy.
They are. I'm just crying. Again. I'm just so overwhelmed with emotion.
Touched. You're touched.
Yes.
Because I have
overcome.
I haven't done it for a while, and you're glad it's back. Okay.
Maybe we're getting to some normalcy here. I don't know.
Maybe. Could be. Nah. No way. Hi, Perry French. No. Perry French, who's in upstate New York. Hi.
Yes. Hey, how's it going? Hey. Yeah, it's crazy summertime everywhere. So
yeah,
we're just having a little week up here, and then looking forward to the Memorial Tournament finishing up, and see if our man Matsuyama can pull off the off a win.
Yeah, it's not the Memorial though, Perry. The Memorial's next week.
Remember,
this is the back-to-back.
This is the back-to-back week.
It's at Jack's place, but it's, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, and we'll see. These guys.
The golf course is still the Memorial. So
it is. That's exactly right.
the name of the golf course.
And just to touch on that again, I think I mentioned on the drive one of the days, they have come to their senses there, and there will be no fans next week at Jack's tournament.
Yeah.
Originally, there were going to be no fans this week, same golf course.
Right.
And then fans next week at Jack's, but they came to their senses and said, no, we're not doing it. So I'm glad about that.
Yeah, it's just a really strange thing to try to figure out how to give access to, you know, what number of people and,
yeah,
you know, it's a struggle, and I know that they want to do it, but it's hard enough to keep 100 people from social distancing properly.
Correct.
As opposed to 7,500 or 50,000.
That's sure. Right. So
and that's the challenge.
And since we're speaking about this kind of stuff now, we'll just go right into my next question, and then we'll talk about the Hulk, which I want to ask you about. And I don't mean Lou Ferrigno. I mean a different Hulk.
Okay.
Yeah, no, different one. The Ryder Cup is now postponed for 1 year. Mm-hmm. I think we had a discussion about fans at the Ryder Cup, and I said I didn't care about that.
Yeah.
But I have changed my stance with the Ryder Cup, and since they wouldn't be able to have fans, they have postponed it for a year. They're going to keep it at Whistling Straits. And they moved it, which will in turn move the President's Cup and all that. But it's a good decision, right?
Well, we had talked about that as well. And I, you know, I said the Ryder Cup is not going to be the same as the players that expressed that to not have that fan interaction, banter, and cheering that you don't really get at any other golf event for sure of that nature.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, in my opinion, I call it the Super Bowl of golf. It's what it is. It's a team event, of course. And, I think it's a tough decision, one that, you know, just stinks. But, again, here, if there was an event that you could control some of the – no, not a chance. You could control,
there's no chance.
You're not going to get it done. No, I'm sorry. You can't control that. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. So it's a good decision. You
but
know,
it
obviously
sucks.
Now this puts the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup back on the same odd-even scenario that they were displaced by 9/11 that year. So very strange this occurred again, but again, probably the right decision just because I'm surprised it's falling in September. We know what happens in September, and that's football. So does this lead to now the discussion about football and those sports being able to have fans in attendance? So,
well, let's put it this way. If a year from September we're still talking about not having football or Ryder Cup, then I'm going to Mars or somewhere.
Well,
I mean, you know, let's get serious.
You're right. No,
here.
If we are, if this isn't at least corralled,
yeah,
and
yeah,
a sense of you know how to navigate it through all our walks of life.
Yep.
It'll be certainly quite a year we'll have endured. To say the least, year and a half.
I'm actually thinking of moving to Nebraska. Because I looked at the map of all that Sean just made. You know the face Sean just made. I looked at the map yesterday of all the states with the number of cases that are in the states. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nebraska apparently has had like two cases the whole time. Nothing. So I'm thinking they have golf courses in Nebraska, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, so I'm thinking, you know, I could call in, do the show, and let's just go to Nebraska.
Well, that would be significantly social distancing from work.
Yeah. Either 6 feet or 6,000 miles. All right.
Right.
Now, we've done shows. I've seen you. But since we did the show for last week, that same day, that Sunday, Bryson the Hulk started off three shots back of Matthew Wolf. That was wiped out in the first three holes. It was over. And then he goes on to win. He has stats that no one has ever had on the PGA Tour for a tournament. He was first in driving distance and first in shots gained putting. So, Perry, my question to you is, you know, did you happen to hear Kevin Kisner's comments about it afterwards?
I did not.
Okay. Here's what, and Kiss is, he's got a pretty big voice on the tour. He's a solid veteran. He's playing really well now. Mm-hmm. When the tournament was over, Kisner said, in effect, he has changed the entire game of golf from now on. That's what Kisner said. Almost like when Tiger in 2000 was doing what he was doing and people said, that's what they're saying about Bryceps now. And
yeah,
I want to get your thoughts on how he's playing, what he's doing. I mean, obviously he's not going to win every week, but I mean, what are we going to do, Perry? I can't stand to watch tournaments with him on the leaderboard every week. I can't do it.
Well, The fact of the matter is he has done just that with his Tiger-esque type change in the physique of what we came to be looking at golfers at back in 2000 and up to 2004 when he was, you know, turning into a Ranger or a Navy SEAL, you know, doing those kind of training things.
Right.
Bryson took it to another level. He's always, we know this about him. He came on tour with his, you know, the one club length, very scientific and measured and all of the things that he studies, almost engineer-like. And he has continued to do that, and he's done it with his physique and with his training. And realizing that the way golf courses are set up these days, the power and length thing is what Tiger brought to the game back in 2000. That was challenging everybody to get longer, get faster, get bigger, get in physical shape daily, weekly. And DeChambeau's taking a different route. We'll see what the longevity factor is. It's working for him. Can you imagine taking on 35 pounds of muscle?
Yeah, well, it's basically, you haven't seen me for a while, so I did this during quarantine. I gained about 30 pounds of muscle. What, Sean? Dropped my body fat down to almost nothing. So I get what he did because I basically done the same thing. But
I think he's still going to be a one-off. I don't see this to be, you know, he's not going to start a trend. Look at Matthew Wolf, the kid that he, you know, who came and right. He cut, you know, and beat. Matthew was, of course, known for his unique swing motion and, mm-hmm. and being his instructor teaching him that way of moving the golf club. Again, very unique and to the entire golf world. But the efficiency, the length, how he swings it, he was that new model of player coming out. So yeah. Bryson says, hey, if I'm going to be up there with these young kids, he's still a young kid, he's 26.
Right.
He wanted to change that. And to his credit, he's transformed. He's transformed, you know,
yeah.
himself. So it'll be interesting to see where if he starts winning multiple events.
Right.
As we get into this fall, then you might be shaking your head and saying, this is the second coming of the new generation of golfer.
Yeah, well, I could just tell you know me, I'm the guy on the porch, and I won't like it. I'm just telling you.
I know you won't. You may have to watch it pass by.
Well, that would be
all right. They have to watch it.
Yeah, that would be all right, too. Like I'll just watch the European Tour every week. That's what I'll do.
Well, there you go.
It's still golf.
It is golf.
Okay.
As wherever it goes.
All right. Now, excuse me. I'm telling you, I get choked up when I talk about Bryson. I just... We have a very important deal going on at the best practice facility anywhere, Man of War Golf, of course. The 14th to the 18th out at Man of War, we have fitting days with our favorite stuff, Srixon, Cleveland Golf, Zexio, and other brands.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. I can't wait.
Yeah, obviously this is, the COVID version of what was the mega demo day that Man of War has done every year for
right.
the number of years I've been in here, on a Saturday in May, and, you know, all the vendors out there in a really big event to get people checking out the new products from everybody. So in order to work with the social distancing practices, we're having a week-long event. We're going to be out there on Thursday the 16th. Is our day with, I think it's with Ping. So two vendors a day, still going to be able to get fit, try out the greatest and latest new products out there.
Right.
We'll be introducing the new Zipcore wedge that's going to be landing sometime late July in the marketplace. It's already on tour. So that's going to be exciting to see the people getting a chance to see that and feel that new product. And again, just kindly a little bit of normalcy back to the range
right.
of Man of War and getting people, you know, really kind of, this late, not late, this midsummer kind of bash, if you will. We don't normally do this. It's pretty quiet this time of year normally.
Right.
Everything's changed. Things are. So,
yeah.
So we're looking forward to getting out there, and hopefully the weather will be cooperative and we'll have a good turnout and people will be able to see. They've been playing a lot of golf, so hopefully they're figuring out they've got some holes in their game that they want to try to improve on. And, this will be a great opportunity for them to do that, and your favorite brands will be out there to try and compare.
My favorite brand, I know, will be out there, and I will be out there because I need new wedges. I need some new wedges, as well as a couple other clubs. And you know, the Cleveland is my stuff. I mean, it's just my stuff. That's all.
It's just your stuff. And well, hopefully, you can make it out. I know you got work to do. So
no.
The windows.
No, I'll be out there. I'm telling you.
All right.
Forget all the other stuff that I'm doing. And all right. So you'll be back. Well, it's next week, the 14th.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, have fun
up
there. I know you're with family, and that's great. Be safe. Be careful.
Yep.
And I will definitely see you next week, one way or the
other.
Perfect. All right.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks. See ya.
Thanks, Matthew. Bye.
Bye. Oh, I forgot. Perry? No, he's gone. All right, I'll just say it for Perry. Hi, Chris Mascaro. Next on the tee, peeps. Incredible podcast. And he does it, I believe, every Tuesday night, I think. Just amazing. Amazing. You can check Chris Mascaro's Facebook page, Twitter account, and all these different people from the world of golf. Pretty impressive people, I might add. And I'm not talking about me. have put videos up giving shout-outs to Chris and Next on the Tee. You can go to podbean.com and check them out. It's great. All right. When we come back, my buddy TJ O'Claire will join us, the Caddy Network, with his usual great stories about caddies and – oh, you're shaking your head about something different. Right. Okay. About caddies and just all kinds of cool stuff. It's Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf, of course, on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. Hey, Sean, did I ever tell you I won an award? I haven't mentioned it in, I don't know, a week or something, right? Yeah. Okay. I was just curious, just popped into my head. Joining me now, I wanted to let him remind him also because he's a big deal. So, you know, the more respect I get from him, the better I feel. I can sleep better at night. TJ O'Claire, did I say TG? TJ O'Claire, of course. Go to at Caddy Network on Twitter. It's awesome. Man, hi, TJ.
How you doing, Matthew? And by the way, congratulations on that award.
Oh, thank you, TJ.
Shortly after my last appearance, so...
Oh.
Congratulations. That's great stuff.
Thanks. See, Sean? See? And I'm a pretty good fisherman. I should have a fishing show, TJ. And that just reminded me of something that's pretty funny, and I think you'll enjoy this too, TJ. You know who Ed Marinaro is, correct?
Yes.
Okay. He was a great football player for many years, first at Cornell and then in the NFL. And then he was on Hill Street Blues and a bunch of other stuff. He was a good friend of mine. And at all the celebrity golf tournaments we used to play at, he used to bring his fishing rod with him in his golf bag. And every course we played that had water on it, he would be fishing. Guys would be hitting their tee. He'd hit, and then he'd move off the tee box and go throw his line in for a minute or two. Every time. It was unbelievable. The things we can do on a golf course, right, TJ?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Have you ever done that?
I haven't. No, I'm not much of a fisherman myself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, me either. Okay. all right, I want to start with you. And by the way, this is... Sean, 16,600 followers. Yeah. I told you he's a big deal. And rightfully so. this whole thing, it's thecaddynetwork.com on the interweb, but Twitter is at just Caddy Network, is one of the best things anywhere, TJ. And I mean that. These stories are And now you're getting into, we got some fantasy power rankings going and all kinds of stuff. But the caddy stuff, we've talked about this before, is just an unbelievable part of our game. And the way you do it is fantastic. All right, let's talk a little about the announcement that was made about, we all knew this was coming, but the Ryder Cup has been pushed back a year. It will still be at Whistling Straits next year. Just your feelings about it.
Yeah, well, I've been fortunate enough to have covered 10 Ryder Cups in person. And
10?
I have to tell you, 10. I started young.
I was going to say, you're only 28. How is that possible?
Yeah, I'm 40.
Whoa.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Whoa, but, what an old guy. Yeah, go ahead.
But I do have to say, I never could envision a Ryder Cup played without fans. I mean, that's what makes the competition. I mean, whether you're in Europe and you're listening to all the songs and the chanting and
yeah.
like you're at a soccer match, whether it's in the U.S. like at Hazeltine, which was just phenomenal, that final day, you can't have that event without fans. And I love the fact that golf is one of the first sports back and they're having to do it without fans right now. And I think right now it works at these regular events. It's not going to work in a Ryder Cup. So, you know, we saw the writing on the wall. The decision was going to come eventually, and I'm glad that it's finally out there so that we can kind of, you know, prepare ourselves for that. But At the same time, we still have some awesome golf to look forward to this fall between the U.S. Open, Masters just before Thanksgiving. So, you know, I'm glad they made the decision that they did. And, you know, we have to wait another year, but it's going to be so much more special with fans.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting with the Ryder Cup because, as Sean knows, I am a real big fan right now of no fans at these tournaments. I love watching the telecasts. I think we're seeing golf courses without stands, without all that, which is the way the golf courses were designed, obviously, to be played. And I love the different camera angles we're seeing. I like all of it. I'm more than fine with these events not having them. And I felt the same way about the Ryder Cup. I got to tell you, my first reactions were, I don't care. Play it without fans. It's still competition. It's still Europe against the U.S. The guys will still want to beat. But I have a different feeling now, and I've come around to where you are, that the Ryder Cup and the majors, I feel the same way about. If you can't play them without fans, you know, being there, then it's not a good idea.
Yeah, you know, and I'm okay with the majors for this year, just quite frankly.
Yeah, for this year.
I want to see Augusta National.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Ryder Cup, the first day of Ryder Cup, there's nothing like it in sport. You know, players to a man will tell you there are no nerves like the nerves you have on the first day of Ryder Cup. So
yeah.
you can't do that one without fans.
Yeah. Well, I guess part of it for me was, I think that I've said this too, I think I'm tired at times of some of the behavior at Ryder Cups. I mean, we have, you know, mashed potatoes guy at the Rocket Mortgage normally, but sometimes I just get really angry at the boorishness of fans at Ryder Cups. I think it's gone too far, like a lot of things have. But
yeah, I think so to an extent. But I mean, you know, in fairness, as I said, I've been to Ryder Cups here. I've been to Ryder Cups on the other side of the pond, and I do think that the U.S. gets a bad rap on that stuff because
yeah.
I've seen and heard things on the other side as well. But I also think it adds so much. I mean, I think of Hazeltine, that final day showdown with Rory and Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
I don't think you get that kind of enthusiasm without the crowds.
Yeah,
you know, Rory wanted to stick it to them.
Yeah, that's
Patrick
a good
Patrick Reed
point.
At the time was Captain America. You know what I mean? So to me, it brings out the best in the players.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. I saw somebody did a column about today about the Ryder Cup not having fans and mentioned Captain America, and it made me cringe. But that's just a personal feeling that I have about him.
Right.
That's all. It's just
right.
My personal opinion. Anyway, all right, let's talk a little. We're speaking with TJ Auclair of the Caddy Network. One of the great things, and you do this with different players, different caddies, but on your Twitter feed and on the website yesterday, I believe, just how important is chemistry between a player and caddy? Here's what a few experienced loopers told us. And by the way, loopers is one of my absolute favorite words in the whole English language. Can you give us a couple of examples of things that caddy said about their chemistry?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main takeaway from this is, you know, you ask who's the best caddy, and the response from the top caddies will be, well, for what player?
Yeah.
Because not every caddy is suited for that player, right? So, like, right now, for instance, we look at Webb Simpson. I mean, he's playing the best golf of his life
now.
You know, won a U.S. Open several years ago, but I think consistency-wise, ball striking, nobody in the world is better right now. Of course, Bryson DeChambeau is playing phenomenal. But if you look at the stats, Webb in his ball striking, phenomenal. Nobody's
right.
touching him right now. He's got a guy in Paul Fessori on the bag who not only is one of the best caddies in the world and has been for several years, was on the bag for Vijay Singh prior to mm-hmm. Webb Simpson, but he's the guy who also played on the PGA Tour. So I think he can relate to things with Webb that maybe other guys can't. Webb knows Paul has been there, and I'm not going to say Paul's been there and done that because Paul will be the first one to tell you he never made a cut. However, he's been in the arena, you know?
Yeah.
He's respected by the guys. He knows about the swing. He knows how to calm Webb down. So You know, you look at a guy like Tesori, you look at a guy like Ted Scott and the personality that he has to deal with week in and week out with a guy like Bubba Watson. You know, we all remember a few years ago the scene at the Travelers Championship over in Hartford where Bubba got caught on a hot mic, you know, giving it to Ted because he's all wound up in the water. And everybody's wondering, how can the caddy take that abuse? And when you talk to Ted, he'll tell you, well, there are a couple of reasons you can take it. One, the guy plays great golf. He's a major champion. It's in my best interest financially to put up with that. But also, I get Bubba. I know he doesn't mean what he's saying to me. He's just getting it out. And he's one of those guys who can't hold it in and continue to play great golf. He's just got to release it, let it go, and move on. So I think when you're talking about chemistry, that's where it's at, right? You look at Steve Williams for years. Tiger Woods had his best years with Steve Williams.
Right.
Steve was just as competitive as Tiger. He pushed Tiger. So I think that's what it's all about, is just finding the right caddy for the right player. And, you know, those are some of the longest relationships you'll see on tour.
You know, Ted Scott, it's funny, and you know this, when that happened with Bubba, immediately it was hashtag pray for Ted Scott. And
right.
It lasted for a long time and kind of turned him into a mini celebrity. Yeah.
He's like this sympathetic figure. And, you know, and Ted's a great guy.
Yep.
And I think, you know, to me, if he thought the abuse was what the rest of us thought it was, I don't think he's the kind of guy that would stick around, you know.
Right.
But he gets his player.
Right. One of the interesting side notes, kind of this no fans tournaments now, and it should be, we've all been saying for a long time, TV coverage, one of the most annoying things about analysts and all kinds of people, you know, golf course, the people that walk on the course, the announcers, is when it used to be you couldn't hear the caddy and the player that often. And when you did, discussing a shot, then they would talk over it. And you couldn't hear.
Right.
Well, now we have better access to that because they're the only people on the golf course, the cameramen and the players and the caddies. And it's great. We're hearing a lot more from the caddies now.
Yeah, we are. I like that. You know, we just talked about Paul Tesori and Webb Simpson. And there was an instance just a couple weeks ago where we overheard Paul say to Webb, "You are not hitting that club."
Right.
Which I thought was kind of cool, right? I mean,
yeah.
He's stepping in and telling this guy what he's going to do.
Yep.
So, but I mean, that kind of stuff, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely giving viewers that inside look that, you know, I've been lucky enough, and I'm sure you've been lucky enough to see when you're inside the ropes. And it's an element that, you know, has probably been lacking for years. But
right.
Now, because of the circumstances, we are able to hear it. And I think that's kind of cool.
In the couple minutes we have left, just quickly tell us, this has been not on so much maybe on the Paul Tesoris or the people that are playing with guys that are winning, you know, in the top 10 all the time. For most caddies, this has been a very, very tough stretch of first no tournaments and all that stuff, right? I mean, I don't think we realize how hard it's been for the caddies.
Yeah, you know, luckily some players, both on the LPGA and the PGA Tour, have put together little benevolent funds to try and help the caddies a little bit. But, you know, along those lines, Matthew, I also work with some caddies on the LPGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
We recently did a podcast, and I don't know if you saw the news, but maybe middle to end of May, the LPGA put in a rule that they're going to make caddies optional for the rest of the year. That's obviously a huge concern for LPGA caddies because – the rule is meant to avoid players taking a local caddy who may not be inside the bubble
right.
that we hear about all the time.
Right.
However, a lot of caddies feel like some players will use it as a loophole. They don't play for as much money on the LPGA Tour, so maybe if they can save some money for the remaining tournaments, which, by the way, don't start until the end of this month at the earliest.
Right.
But that's going to be tough on caddies. I mean, on the LPGA, they haven't played a tournament since the last week in February.
I know.
So, you know, you go 6 months or so without an event, and then there's that uncertainty of whether or not you're going to get back out there the rest of the year. I mean, there are caddies looking for side gigs. There's caddies that work as Uber drivers when they're home.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely been a tough time, and I'm hoping the LPGA kind of sees how things are playing out on the PGA Tour, which I might be in the minority, but I think has been overwhelmingly positive when you consider all the testing that they've done. That
yes,
so far,
I agree 100%. Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully they look at that and maybe they rethink their, excuse me, their decision.
Yeah. Well, it's always great to talk to you. Just hearing your voice always makes me feel better. Hopefully you and I can play a round of golf someday, somewhere. I'd like it to be up there where you are.
I would too. You know. I'm hoping to see Tunes on the range soon. I haven't seen him yet this year.
Well, give him my love. Don't hug him. Just give him a 6 foot away high five and tell him I love him. I'll talk to you real soon. And thanks so much for talking with us today. It is always a joy for me.
Same here, Matthew. Thanks so much.
Okay, pal. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Joining me now, welcome back, peeps, to ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. Joining me now, I couldn't wait for this, because if there's anybody I want to talk about what happened at the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit over the weekend, in the last 4 days, it's Dan Houser, because he's the co-founder and senior writer at The Stiff Shaft, thestiffshaft.com, or at The Stiff Shaft, or at Dan Houser Golf, Lord. Houser. Is that enough places? Dan Houser, my buddy, we think, I would say 99% of the time, the same way about golf and golfers and what's going on. And I can't wait to talk to him about the guy I call the Hulk. Hi, Dan.
How's it going?
Oh.
So I like that little Michael Jackson rejoin, but see, what would have been really good is we could have got some, like, clown music in the background because we're talking about Bryson.
Ooh, even I didn't go there. Yeah, but yeah, maybe I'll figure out a way to superimpose that, some clown music, circus music. All right, now, I actually had somebody, I put on Twitter after he won. First, somebody put up, I think kind of half-jokingly, Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau paired together in international play, you know, would be unbeatable, something. And I put, I'm rooting for the Europeans. If those two were paired together. I thought I couldn't have as much dislike for a player as I do for Patrick Reed. But the Hulk is quickly becoming. Now, let me say, first of all, I think you would agree with this. I am not denying what he has done in terms of his talent. He was a top 20 player before. He has worked incredibly hard to do what he's done. I am not disputing that. Do you feel that way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, I mean, this guy's been a stud since he was in college. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And the fact that he has taken this quarantine time to transform not just his entire body, but his entire game and do it so successfully, so quickly, absolutely, you have to give him credit for that. On the same breath, though, he's not making it easy he's not making it easy for everyone to just focus on these crazy numbers he's putting up. That's for sure.
Well, and you, speaking of crazy numbers, he did something this week that nobody has ever done on the PGA Tour since they've been keeping driving statistics. He averaged over 350 yards for the whole tournament. I mean, he was hitting 20-yard chip shots on 430-yard holes the whole time.
He had the box yesterday at one point. I want to say it was the 13th hole, but I don't remember for sure. And he gave it away because he wanted to wait for the green to clear on a 400-yard hole.
Yeah.
And the craziest part of that whole thing was that's not like, you know, you see one of these hacks on a Saturday at your local muni saying, oh, yeah, I need to wait for the green to clear.
Right.
And then he chunks it 20 yards. Like, he wanted to wait for the green to clear because he and everyone else legitimately thought that he could get it close enough, at least close enough to the point where it might get somebody unnerved if he hit it, in, you know, up on somebody like that.
Yeah. Well, he also led the tournament in strokes gained putting, which is why he shot 23 under. His iron play was not that great. His wedge play was okay. But when you lead, nobody, I think I read this right, Nobody has led an entire tournament, finished first in driving and strokes gained putting.
Nope, not since those stats started. Yeah. And then, you know, they always say drive for show and putt for dough. Well, he did both.
He did both.
He definitely drove for show, and he backed himself up on those greens.
Yeah. All right. Now, here's part of the problem. So, for those of you that didn't hear this or see this, on Saturday during the tournament, he was in a bunker. He went to hit his shot, hit a poor shot, and he slammed his club in frustration. Now, we've all done that. I did it. Friday morning, Saturday morning, and Sunday morning. I get it. What happened, though, are you still there?
I am still here.
Okay.
All right. Did I lose you?
Yeah, for a second. Okay, you're back. Okay. So what happened was a CBS camera operator videoed him slamming his club into the sand, and then he followed DeChambeau while DeChambeau was walking up to the next to the green. Any cameraman would do that. Any. And then DeChambeau, after he putted out, confronted the guy and had what he called a testy discussion. And here's why. You read this. I know you did. He says, I mean, I understand it's his job to video me, but at the same point, I think we need to start protecting our players out here compared to showing a potential vulnerability and hurting someone's image. I would use another word in here, kidding me. Are you kidding
me? Hey, Bryson, Tiger Woods on line one would like to have a word with you.
He actually said something about for that to damage our brand like that. That's not cool in the way we act.
Two things came to me immediately after this happened. Well, three. The first one is, you know, Tiger Woods on line one. The second one was, okay, so let me get this straight. So Bryson DeChambeau has a problem with these cameramen. These are the same cameramen that have afforded him the luxury of, I put the exact number out on Twitter, so forgive me for not knowing it exactly, but
that's okay.
Tens of millions of dollars in on-course earnings, tens of millions of more dollars in off-course endorsement earnings, all because he plays golf on television.
Correct.
Then on top of that, you know, he's talking about what his brand is. I also put this one on Twitter. Now, hear me out on this. Is his brand being a Karen? And hear me out on this explanation. So first off, he seems to like to defend and side with other quote-unquote bad people like Patrick Reed. And then when something doesn't go his way, he wants to speak to the manager.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
His brand is a Karen.
That's exactly right. He is. That's exactly what he is. When I saw all of this and heard afterwards, I mean, I saw the little incident, but when I heard what he said afterwards, and now, of you know, he followed that up. He tried to explain what he meant by that. And, you know, the hard part is he has worked incredibly hard. He has changed the way he plays, obviously the way he looks, his body, his everything. And we all know how difficult that is. Tiger once said it took him a year. He changed his grip position about a half inch, and it took him a year. We all know how hard this is to make changes in golf. So it's not about that. But for him to talk about branding and his image and all that kind of stuff, just shut up. Of course, I wouldn't say this to him in person.
And notice how he didn't have any problems with those cameras following around after he sunk the winning putt yesterday, right?
He loved bumps and all that stuff.
Then all of a sudden, all those cameras were perfectly fine being around.
Yeah, he looked pretty, you know, when he held the trophy up, he didn't mind the cameras being there.
No, not
he
at
said
all.
He's yeah. He said he's not a bad dude if you get to know me, which anytime somebody has to say that, I pretty much go, okay, if you have to say that, yeah, you kind of are. But, and again, we're not taking away from his talent. And
no, not at all.
So, okay, that's good. Now, here's some more news that we just got that I'm very thankful for. I think when we last spoke, we might have talked about Jack's tournament at Muirfield and how of all the tournaments that are scheduled by the PGA, that was the only one where they were going to allow fans to some extent, which I was horrified to hear. Well, that is now off the table, and it's a good thing. There will be no fans at Muirfield.
Nope, no fans at Muirfield. It was already announced that there was going to be no fans the following week at the 3M in Minnesota. There has already been announced that there'll be no fans at the Barracuda because it's in California.
Right.
So the next one that we could potentially see fans at is the WGC FedEx St. Jude in Memphis. However, they have not made an announcement one way or another on that one yet. If for some reason they go the no fan route there, which, you know, hopefully they do, the following week after that's the PGA, which we already know also is no fans. So if Memphis goes no fans, it's, you know, we're probably looking at least until mid-August at the absolute earliest before we would see any fans welcome on the golf course in an official capacity of any kind.
Yeah. What are we looking forward to this coming week?
I think what's going to be interesting is obviously we're very familiar with Muirfield Village as far as the memorial is concerned. So now you're going to have a full field event at this golf course. So naturally, obviously, you're going to have more golfers seeing it and seeing it for the first time, because a lot of guys who might not normally be able to qualify for the event when it's memorial will be able to play in it. Also, it'll be interesting to see how they lay out the course design for this week as opposed to how they lay it out next week.
Yeah.
Are they going to play from completely different tee boxes? Are we going to see completely different pin locations? Are they going to basically treat this like it's a completely different tournament on a completely different course, even though it's going to be technically on the same course 2 weeks in a row? So it'll be interesting to see from that standpoint. It'll also be interesting to see, because this golf course was preparing in 1 week to allow upwards of 8,000 people on the property a day.
Right.
So what type of infrastructure was already built out? Are we going to see grandstands that will now sit empty?
No.
Are we going to see something more like the Rocket, like the Rocket Mortgage, where they kind of had some stuff around the greens that, you know, even though there weren't grandstands, you know, they had some
signage,
you know, placement areas set up, signage set up.
Right.
You know, obviously we're going to have the ropes, but are we going to see hospitality tents that now sit empty? Are we going to see, you know, places where you could have gotten beers that are now going to be sitting empty? So is this going to look more like, and this could be really, really weird, because if they actually set up the infrastructure for the fans, and we know they're not going to break it down, this is going to then look like an old regular tournament with nobody on it, which I think, I mean, we've finally started getting used to having these golf tournaments being played on essentially empty golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how weird it's going to be to watch a golf tournament played with infrastructure set up and nobody there as well. So that could lead to an interesting dynamic in terms of the way the course plays as well.
It'll look like English Premier League games.
Yeah, right, I mean, exactly.
You know, but here's the thing, and we've talked about this, and this is a really good point you brought up, Dan. I'm proud of you. This whole thing about the infrastructure and how different, I think they're going to set this week up completely differently than they will for the following week. I mean, they will not use any of the same pin positions for the 4 days. I think they'll change tee boxes. I think they're going to make it really different. That's number one.
You would think that they would have to probably try to change the tee boxes up, because you would need different landing positions
right
in the fairway to try
right
to keep the golf course from getting eaten up too much.
Yeah, well, it's not going to matter, because Bryson's going to hit it on the green every hole anyway, so who cares? But we're going to have this discussion now I hate it. Anyway, I think there's a chance they might take all the infrastructure down. I really do, because I think in golf, it's much worse when you see empty stands than in a baseball game, even, or a soccer stadium. I just think they're going to take it down, and I love that. We talked about, I love having the golf course. I would love to see Muirfield the way it really looks. I've never been there, as opposed to, you know, having seats all around the greens and all that stuff. I hope they do it.
Oh, absolutely. I just wonder if, because, you know, it takes a long time to put those things up, but it also takes a while to break them down too.
Yeah, so
I just wonder if there's going to be enough time to break them down. What we could see is a little bit of infrastructure set up this week, and then they'll be able to kind of do enough to get it all down before the memorial next week. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because that could impact the way the course plays and some of the scores that we see as well.
Right. Well, like I say, none of this matters, because nobody's beating Bryson for the next 5 years. So, all right. You're a great one, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right. Sounds good.
All
thanks.
Right. Dan Houser, thestiffshaft.com. He's awesome. All right. That'll do it. What was that? Help me out, Sean. Will you please? I'm struggling. thanks, of course, Perry French. Perry French, TJ O'Clair, Dan Houser, as always. I have to say we have great guests on the show every week. It has nothing to do with me. Do you know I won an award, Sean? I know. I'll tell you about it when we go off the air. Thanks to our incredible partners, as always. Man of War Golf, don't forget, it's the Super Fitting Days, the 14th to the 18th. Next week, get out to Man of War. Check out all these great brands. French Lick Resort, peeps, the two golf courses designed by Hall of Famers. You don't see that anywhere. They have all kinds of stuff going on with social distancing and all the guidelines being followed. The casino is good. West Baden is good. Just check it out. Go to FrenchLick.com. It'll give you all the answers. But get up there, 2 hours and 15 minutes from Lexington. Lexington Parks and Rec are great golf courses. And peeps, if you haven't heard me talking about it, the pro shops are open. We were having to go through PlayGolfLex.com and book your tee times and all. You still should do that or call them at whatever course it is. But you can go in the pro shop now and pay for it. Again, following all the guidelines still. Edwin Watts Golf, great deals going on out there all the time. Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. Go see them. I want to go back there, Sean. We just did a drive show from there. Let's go back. Clark's Pump and Shop, every day, right on Clay's Mill, the brand new one, right by my house. I'm in there every day at some point. Commonwealth Credit Union, my credit union, my wife's credit union. Incredible people and truly a local bank. They're great. And my insurance partners, NFP. Give them a call. Go to nfp.com. Michael Cunningham, all the great people over at NFP for all your insurance needs like I have. All right, we'll be back next week with Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Thanks. Have a great Sunday.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.